set a path before you, and I have said, here is, this is the way, come ye, walk in it. I've called you to a narrow path, and there be few who find it. Do not say in your heart, this is too hard, this is too hard, for I am with you.
Christians, we have the mind of Christ. With the mind of Christ, there's no room for mental illness. Because do you think that Jesus, with his mind, we could have a mental illness? You can't have both. So just declare tonight that you are free from anything going on in your mind. Part of our daily mortification of the flesh is to daily mortify these thoughts, and we do that by declaring the word of God. And including that, on the cross we were healed. It says that by Jesus' stripes we were healed. When he went on that cross, he didn't just take our sin, he took our sickness and infirmities. And that doesn't just mean, I've heard someone tell me that was like a spiritual healing. No, that included physical healing. We were physically healed. That means 2,000 years ago, healing was made available to us. So right now, tonight, if you're dealing with anything, just declare with me that you are healed, that you were healed by the stripes of Jesus. Declare your healing. Take a hold of it. Accept it. Receive it. It is yours. Thank you, Jesus, for this healing. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for this healing. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus, for this healing. Thank you, Jesus.
Certain music, musical sounds actually kind of make you feel a certain way, right? I mean, think of if you hear a song for the first time you haven't heard it in 10 years and suddenly you can remember if that song meant anything to you, you're right back at whatever event happened. It's like that with worship and it's like that with sounds too. And sometimes when you play just kind of the minor keys and things that are, you know, happening at my God, you are, you know, that kind of minor kind of sound, you know, I don't know what it is about those chords, but I'm telling you, everyone can worship really well to them, right? And then we go in these times of waiting. Who's been in a waiting service here? I think almost all of us, right? Where we just wait sometimes 10, 20, 30 minutes, sometimes 40. I remember one night we're down with the youth on a Wednesday and God had led pastor to wait and all the kids are like, they're horses. We're trying to hold them back because, you know, everything's so quiet up here. God does a lot of different things. And at the end, when he said worship, I was like, well, we've just been worshiping you forever. And what he wanted to show was that you can do that at home, like cold like that. When you feel it's over, when you feel it's done, when you feel it's one way, you can just open your mouth and start praising. And God is so faithful because he just loves that. He just, you know, it's really from the heart. So there'll be times even like some of the girls up here start jumping and I'm like, put down your mic and do it, what's in your spirit to do, you know? Because God will move in all that stuff. He'll move in the quiet. He'll move in the dancing. He'll move in the praise. He'll move in the, you know, there's times, if you guys ever been in a service where you just want to like bow down, like you just feel like his holiness and you're just overwhelmed by his presence. Sometimes at home I do that. I have to make sure I kneel on the carpet and not on the hard floor, but sometimes you just want to get down in his face because of whatever he's doing. Here's the thing, God loves it all. And there's no such thing, this is not in my notes, I don't know what I'm going to say tonight, but we do not serve an either or God. We serve an all or nothing God. And that means everything in here. And that means you don't separate God from the things you're comfortable with or not comfortable with. I grew up in church. My parents tried to shield us from a lot of religion, to be honest with you. So sometimes I hear things that Pastor Jim will say, and I'm like, are you kidding me? This is for real. For real. First time I ever heard people who pass around snakes, I was like, cray, cray. I had no idea. Didn't know people did that. They take scripture out of context, and they pass around poisonous snakes. So then if they don't get bit, well, then they're holy. If they do get bit, well, too bad for you. You die. That's really silly. It's presumption, and it's ridiculous. My dad came out of the Catholic Church. He had walked away from God for a very long time, got radically born again. His life, and then my mom got radically born again too, and then they both got filled with the Spirit. And their lives really had a big impact on mine because they lived Jesus every day. Okay? And so some of the stuff that I hear about the factions and divisions and denominations, it doesn't resonate with me other than to say it's silly. You know, then to go, oh, that's obviously ridiculous. You know what I mean? So I don't believe either or. I believe we accept Holy Spirit in all that He is, with all of His gifts, including tongues, including walking in the Spirit, because it's Him who teaches us. We don't separate stuff, okay? It's all of it. We don't decide, well, I don't like the holiness of God, because that's just too strict. So I won't believe in that, but I'll believe that I'm saved. You know what I mean? But take it to every little millimeter. You guys know what a millimeter is here in America? It's a tiny little teensy. We serve a great big God, and sometimes we put Him in boxes, and we don't mean to. But unfortunately, a lot of our backgrounds want to try and come in and stop. So this is what it is. We had prophetic words from, I think, 2019 going into 2020 that came out of Pastor Bronk's church. And one of the things he said was that the gifts were going to be in operation in the end. So the Holy Spirit was speaking. They're going to come so much in operation. Are the gifts in operation in your life? Now, let me say this. It's not either the gifts or maturity. It's both. That's really, okay, we have to mature. We have to walk with God in that integrity, okay? We have to walk in the Spirit. That's first and that's foremost. But in that comes the gifts. It's not either or. There's no such thing as an either or. You take the Holy Spirit in all of who He is, okay? And so I want to try and soften everything that God has in me tonight, but I think He's not happy tonight. So I don't want to do that. I think He's grieved. Because for too long, there's been too many divisions in His body, and He's tired of it, to put it in human terms. He's just tired of it. And the divisions stem from lack of intimacy with Him, because if we were all in intimate relationship walking with Him, there wouldn't be all these troubles and problems. You wouldn't reject Him. I wouldn't reject Him when He convicts us about something. We wouldn't do it. Pastor Jameson talking about how judgment is coming to the house of the Lord. And the Lord, this is what was so strong on me this week, is He was likening us to the children of Israel in Isaiah. When He said, it is time for you to be weeping and to be mourning and to be repenting and humbling yourself before God. And instead, you're throwing celebrations and feasting and full of joy. And it's not the joy of the Lord, okay? It's like we're missing it. And God is likening the church in this hour to that. And it grieves Him. It grieves Him so very, very much. He said, now is a time for repentance. And we look at that and we go, well, you know, what does He mean? I'm not walking in sin. But that's really, He wants to take us beyond just don't do the sins. And He's saying, repent for all the little things. Repent for the things that you know where your love has grown cold. There's an apathy that's in the church. This unenthusiastic, quitter, I don't care kind of attitude. It's awful. We serve the risen God, the risen King, and He's so worth our worship, and He's so worth everything in us, and it's like we hold back, and I do it too. This is not like against you, it's like, He's, even with me, he's convicted me this week saying, like, I want more of you. He wants all of it. He doesn't want just pieces of it. He doesn't want just parts of it. We're sitting here as Christians and we're making deals with God. If you do this for me, then I'll serve you. No. No more deals. He's God. And he either is or he isn't. But if he's your God and he's my God, then we have to stop playing around with, I don't know what it is we're doing. It's different for everybody. We got to step into that and say, Lord, convict me. Show me. Show me the areas where I need to change, where I need to consecrate my heart more to you. If you're more concerned about having fun than you are about pressing into the Lord, there's a huge problem. And trust me, I know that can be hard for people who are extroverted and like to have fun and like to be around people. I've had to learn how to not be around people, and it was really hard for me. Because there's times that God is calling us away and he's saying, come away with me, and we're doing like the bare minimum, and we're not going to hell necessarily, but he wants us to step beyond that. He wants us to press into him, and he's so worth it. And so beyond just the times of coming here, beyond just we're in worship and the presence of God is stronger and stronger, it's like every time we come, we just begin to play the first note, and like everybody is just worshiping, and it's wonderful. And it's not to diminish that, okay? So there are people that are like super sensitive, and you're like maybe feeling condemned right now. That's not the point of it, okay? The point is not condemnation. The point is to say, Father, where are areas in my life? How does this apply to me? Not just, oh, I see this in, for everybody else, but where does it apply to me where I need to change those things in my life? God's presence shows up here, and there's people who dishonor God all the time. I don't understand it. And it's wrong. And like, how dare you do that to my Lord? And how dare I do that when he convicts me at home? Come on. That we need to like get a backbone. We do. We need to like go, you know what? All this stuff that's in me that's vying for my time, it means nothing to God. The Lord spoke to me recently, and he was just showing me how to talk to him. And he said, you know, people, you know, they want me to work in their lives, but they never make the decision for me to work in their lives. He's not going to override your free will. Do you know that you have to make the decision? And then the flip side of that is people like me who's like, okay, great. Well, then I'm going to have all these things and all these, you know, so I get them all done because I'm very like performance like that. Like, let's do this. And it's like, no, because then it's all about you. And then his grace isn't involved. This is what we have to do. We have to make the decision, submit our decision to him, and then ask for his grace to come and envelop that decision to bring us through. So you have two different people. You have people who don't ever want to make decisions for God, just let God do anything, and like life passes them by, and they don't do what they're supposed to be doing. And then you have people who do too much, and they don't let God in their life. And both are wrong, and both are ditches. And what he says, he needs us to make the decision, okay, and to step out and do it, but then he needs to invade that decision with his power and his presence, because it's not by my might or my power, but by his Spirit. And that is what he's trying to get us to, this place of walking in the Spirit in such a way where one minute we're operating the gifts and the next minute there's nothing happening and we're not forcing it to happen. You see what I'm saying? So I think where the ditch has been with the gifts is that people sought after the gifts so much that they forgot about God and this relationship that we're supposed to have with him. But the relationship will include the gifts as long as you're not focused on the gifts, and it'll be walking in this maturity and you'll do it as he says it. That's what it's supposed to be. And that's what I meant by it's not either or. God is so alive, and just like anything that's alive, like, do you get up every single day? Now, some people are creatures of habit, so this could be a dangerous question. But do you get up every single day at the same time, have the same exact 100 Cheerios in your bowl with exactly half a cup of milk? Do you do this? Like, then you have your shower at exactly 10 or 1, and then we expect God to act like that. Like in every situation, oh, I got him now. Now this isn't, no, he's living and he's breathing. He's alive. He wants to reveal himself to us and he wants to lead us in daily life. He doesn't want us to kind of just, you know, put him in this box of this is how you can move and only this, or not really wanting that, not really thinking that like out loud, but kind of like, oh, I got you, Lord. I understand who you are. He's like, but wait, I'm alive. What if I ask you to do this today? What if I want you to eat bran flakes instead of Cheerios, right? You get the analogy? We put God in these boxes of what he can and cannot do. I do too. I don't want to be there anymore. And I definitely don't want to do things in my own strength. I had opportunity in my life, guys, to do a lot with music. And I knew a long time ago when I started, I was thinking about this, it's 25 years now since I've been leading worship full time. I've been singing my whole life, but I've been leading worship full time in church for 25 years. It was like 25 years in February, something like that. And I remember at that time of my life, there was a lot of opportunities to sing for like Disney or do some recording, like recording studios. And I knew that's not what I was supposed to do. And I'm so thankful I didn't do it. I'm so thankful because I don't know where I'd be. But I know that he's worth it and that I love him and I want to give him my life. But it's not my abilities or my strength that's going to get it done. It's walking so close with him, so intimate. Then when he says go left, I hear and then I do. When he says go right, I hear and then I do. And no more excuses. Like, you realize that God is not going to get you out of bed. He's not going to get me out of bed, or he's not going to make me turn off the TV. You have to do that. You have to. You're the one that has to do it. I'm the one that has to do it. You know, you want to be faithful to church, then you make a decision to do it and ask God to help you. That's how it's done. It's not, you're not waiting for God to get you up on Sunday morning or Wednesday night. You're not doing that. You want your kids to walk with Jesus, and you better tell them about him every single day. You implement him into their lives every single day. That's how it's done. Because your kids are surrounded by the world. They're in the world, but they're not of the world, and they need to know the difference. Well, I just don't know what to do with my kids. I just don't know what to do with my job. I just don't know what to do with whatever. You fill in the blank. You put Jesus in there. That's what you do. And it has to be real. Do you know kids know fakers? Kids know when you're not real. Kids know when it's not real for you. Kids know when you're not convicted about what you're saying. But do it in love. But love isn't always rainbows and unicorns. Love is, get out of the street! You're going to get hit by the car! People don't want to be yelled at. Well, sometimes you need yelled at. Sometimes I need yelled at. And here's the beautiful thing. We start, you know, where do you get this conviction? Okay, you're at church here. You're in the presence of God. You start sensing God, because what he does is he's like wooing us, right? In worship, it's beautiful. And we're like, okay, God, when I leave here, starting tonight, I'm going to go out of here. And things are going to be different. And tomorrow morning I'm going to get up, and I'm going to get up early, and I'm going to pray, and I'm going to worship you, and I'm going to read the word. And then tomorrow morning comes and you don't do it. Or I don't do it. We need to get beyond the place where we're not doing it. And say, Lord, you know what? I'm having a hard time, but I know that you're there to help me. I know it. And trust him in it. Some people think that they'll believe God better if they see, oh God, just show up in my life. God, just do something. Show me a sign. Let me see your power in operation. I've had people say to me, now these are really immature, young in the Lord people, but they say, oh Lord, if you just heal this person, I'll go to church every Sunday. If you show me who you are, God, I will, whatever, fill in the blank. I'll stop drinking. Now hopefully we're all beyond all that kind of stuff. But there are other more mature deals we make with God, where the circumstances have spoken so loud that we listen to them and not the Lord. God doesn't want deals. He wants us to walk by faith. We know we're supposed to walk by faith and not by sight. But we still want to see. Even though we have example after example after example in the Bible where people did things. They saw amazing things. I mean, right now, you're thinking of the children of Israel, aren't you? How many things did they see? They're in Egypt, and these 10 plagues come. And all this stuff is going on, and they're protected. And they see, like, it starts out with, like, flies and lice and frogs and stuff like that, and the water turns to blood. But then what happens? there's death and animals and crops and then the firstborn. And then if that weren't enough, they leave and they get to the Red Sea. And then what does God do? He parts the Red Sea. Then they walk around, and not just parting it. He parts it and dries the ground. Like, God's complete, okay? You can never blame God when things aren't going right. So he parts it, dries the ground. They walk across. Then what do they see? Then they see the water come back in and kill all the Egyptians. They get to the other side. They start dancing. You know this, right? All the women are dancing. Miriam leads a song. Miriam. 2 days later, they're complaining. You should have left us in Egypt. It would be better if we were to, you know, die in Egypt than die out here. At least there we had whatever. Fill in the blank. I don't think any people group ever has seen as much as they, and it didn't equate to faith. In fact, in Hebrews it says that they didn't receive the promises because they didn't have faith. See, we started on this Christian walk, and we have to receive Jesus by faith without ever having seen him. But then we want to finish our walk in our flesh, making deals with God. Well, if you do this for me, then I'll do it. Lord, I'll be faithful to you at church. I'll be faithful to what I committed to at church, as long as I get recognition for it. So the deals are different, but they're still deals. You have to be faithful to what you committed to because you're doing it as unto him, and not because anyone says anything to you. You know, and I know that sometimes people, they love words of affirmation, and there's nothing wrong with saying to somebody you've done a good job. But if you need that to be faithful, you're wrong. It's just the way it is. If you can't submit to an authority in your life, even when you think they're wrong, you're wrong. And I'm not talking about gross sin. You know what I'm talking about. We make deals with God, but it's on a different level. I'm a more mature level. I'm not telling you that I need a sign like the Pharisees. We need to see. We want to see. And yet the very way that we came to the Lord was through faith. Look at Judas. He was one of the 12. He saw everything that Jesus did. And he was in the inner circle. And he so didn't have faith that it moved him to betray Jesus. It wasn't just like, I don't agree with you and I'm walking away. He saw. So these deals we have with God where just show me this, just do this for me. Please God, just what, you know, and this is not faith, guys. It's sight. It's natural, it's sensual, and it's demonic. And it's not how we're to approach God. You know how in Galatians Paul says, "O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? That you should turn from the living God?" This is not where we're to be. We need to be people who are men and women of faith and not be led by what we see. Now, please don't misunderstand me. As I said earlier, God wants us to be operating the gifts, but he wants us to do it through that heart of faith and obedience to him, that maturing in hearing his voice and knowing him, and not just because, well, we want to operate in power or something. Okay. I'm going to read this to you. The Lord showed me that some have made deals without even realizing it, by letting the circumstances of life speak too loudly. We would never identify it as a deal because we never said, show me first. But by our attitudes, we operate in this deal mentality. We do the bare minimum so that we're not discouraged, so that we feel like, you know, we're good enough Christians. And since things seem to be going fine, we let ourselves off the hook of pressing deeper. It's like we're going along in life, spending some time with God, but because all is going well, we think very little of pressing into him more. We think we are okay with God because of the lack of calamity. But he showed me that this is a deception. That the times where it feels like there are no consequences for our lack of fellowship is really just his great mercy and long suffering towards us to come back to him. And the Lord gave me this like 2 weeks ago before you said anything this morning. And Pastor Jim was talking about that this morning. When you feel like, when you know, okay, when you know you're lukewarm or you're like heading in that direction or you're just barely spending time with Jesus and things are going good, there's this false sense of security saying, I'm okay. But it's not really okay. That's just the mercy and long suffering of the Lord wooing you back to Him, wooing me back to Him, because there is coming a day of judgment. There's coming a time when like the hammer will drop, as they say. And I don't want to be caught unawares, guys. I'm sure you don't. Pastor Jim was right this morning. He said the fear of the Lord needs to come back to the church. Absolutely. The fear of the Lord needs to come back to the church. The Lord spoke to me recently regarding the church. I said this a bit earlier, but I'm going to repeat it. And He said, it is time for repentance. He is likening us, the modern day church, to the rebellious Israelites that we read about in Isaiah. They should have been weeping and mourning and humbling themselves before the Lord, and yet they were full of joy and gladness and celebrating as though nothing was wrong. God is saying that it's time to repent from our prayerlessness and our lack of intimacy. Did you hear that? It's not because of drugs or addiction or violence or murder. What I was really sensing from the Lord is there's this, people are just like, there's this apathy that has set in. There's this bare minimum that has set in. There's this lack of pursuing the Lord for whatever reason. It doesn't matter. We all have different reasons. We all have our reasons. And again, okay, clause here. This is not about being perfect, okay? But it is about saying, Lord, where are the areas in my life where I have, you know, I'm lacking in this intimacy, where I'm not praying, where I'm not seeking You, I'm not hot for You. We need to repent for not taking time with Him. These good times, you know, again, in Jeremiah, we're not going to go there. But it says, God says, actually, we are going to go there. Let's go to Jeremiah. I don't think we've read anything yet in the Word. Jeremiah 22. I just needed to find it. Verse 21. And this is God, a member. He's likening the modern day church to the Israelites. And he says here, I spake unto thee in thy prosperity, but thou said, I will not hear. This has been thy manner from thy youth, that thou obeyest not my voice. Right now, what God is doing is He's speaking to us in the good times, in the prosperity. But instead of not hearing like the Israelites, God is saying, hear. Hear me. He's speaking to us now so that we're not going to be in trouble later. It's important. It's really important. It's important for me. Please do not feel like I'm not applying this to my life. I am. There are areas, there's a couple things God is speaking to me about for a long while, and I've only recently just started doing them. Trust me, it's for everyone. But it's time. Now's the time. He's speaking to us in our prosperity. He's speaking to us in the good times, because this is His mercy and His long suffering, and He's saying, come back to me with all your heart. Rend your hearts and not your garments. You know what that means? Give me your heart and not all the outward junk. He wants that intimacy with us. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 13. Verse 5. It says, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates? He's saying, prove your own self. He doesn't want us to wait until, you know, again, Pastor Jim brought up this morning about, you know, Ananias and Sapphira just dying. Sometimes you wonder about that. Like, what was different then that was other? I mean, I believe it's just an intense amount of glory, okay? But why were other people at other times not struck down like that? Why are some people that you know of not struck down? You know, they shake their fist in God's face and they don't die like Ananias and Sapphira. But God is saying now, examine yourselves to see whether you be in the faith. Now is the time. Now is the time to repent. And people hear that word repent and they're like, oh my goodness, no. Repenting is just a turning away. God is saying, turn away from anything that holds your affection above me. That's really all it is. Turn away from it. That's why it's not always sin. Because it's what you give yourself to. And sometimes we give ourselves to things that are not bad. I know some people, they give their lives to their family too much. And I know that that's like almost taboo to say. More specifically, moms give their lives sometimes too much to children, their children. Your children need to know that God is worth your time. And if you always, always do whatever they say and never show them that you're spending time with God, they're going to know he's not worth their time either. That's just how it is. You got to show your kids that stuff. Let's go to Romans 2:4. Winding down here. Actually, I'm just going to say it because I'm not going to read the whole verse. It tells us that the goodness of God is what leads us to repentance. Have you noticed how the songs that have been written in the last few years? Goodness of God. God's a good, good father. Why? Because his goodness, the revelation of his goodness, leads us to repentance. And if judgment is beginning in the house of the Lord, and if it is time to repent and mourn and weep over these things, he's showing us his goodness because it's his goodness that leads us to repentance. That's why he's doing it. See, anytime people say to me, like, why does God do that? I just know they don't know him. I'm serious. Like, I may not understand everything, you know, because, like, he's God and I'm not, but I love him and trust him. Doesn't matter what he says. That's what it is. If I'm not there yet, doesn't matter if I'm not there, that's what it is, because that's what he said. But when you spend time even once in his presence and you just have this, you know, his goodness, okay, that just comes all over you, it's not long when you're in the presence of God before you start feeling that conviction and that convincing of sin, before you're just overwhelmed with his presence and you just want to do anything he says because he's just so amazing. If you wonder why God does this or why God does that or you have struggle with him, it's because you don't know him. And it's not like you know him and then that's good. It's like even Paul said, you got to keep pressing in. So in the end, you're not lost. We're going to go one more place. We're going to end here. Exodus 33. Since the solution for true repentance is to have a deeper revelation of God's goodness, because it's his goodness that leads to repentance, then it's important to know how we get his goodness. So let's look at Exodus 33. It says an account of Moses and God. Well, let's just look at verse 11 because it's good. And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend. Don't you love that? Wouldn't you love if God said it about you? We're friends of God, amen. Verse 12, and Moses said unto the Lord, see, thou sayest unto me, bring up this people, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast also found grace in my sight. Now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight. Consider that this nation is thy people. And he said, this is what God says, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. And Moses said unto him, if thy presence does not go with me, carry us not up. He understood he needed God with him. For wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not in that thou goest with us? So shall we be separated, I and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth. And the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name. And then Moses says to him, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. And God said, I will make all my what? Goodness pass before thee, And I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and I'll be gracious to whom I'll be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. In the presence of the Lord, when Moses asked for glory, God said, I'll show you my goodness. In God's goodness is true repentance. When we get into that intimate place with the Lord, it's so amazing because it's like this cycle. He's saying, repent for not being close to me. And when you do get close to me, I want to show you my goodness because my goodness is in that presence. And that goodness is what's going to lead you to repentance. And it's going to keep us close to the Lord so that God can say of us, like he said of Moses, I know you. I know you. You're my friend. I speak to you face to face. And is that not what we want? A deeper, close relationship with him. So when God says, repent, he's not beating us over the head. He says, let me show you my goodness. Okay? Because the goodness of God leads to repentance. And as you come into, here's the solution. As you come into my presence, you're going to get that goodness. And that goodness is going to lead to true repentance. So tonight, it's a warning because he's a loving father telling us, time to get closer to me. Time to stop with the excuses. But now's the time. While you're in prosperity, while everything's fine, now's the time that we need to push into the Lord. Don't wait till calamity. That's what the lost people and children of Israel did. They waited till everything was bad before they turned back to God. God is saying, no, come to me now. Seek my face now. And I want to do that. And I know you guys want to do that too. We're going to end with a song, okay? God told me today to do it, so we got to do it. But I haven't heard the song in years. And it's just a spontaneous song from years ago. I had this CD years ago. And it's called The Name. And there's a holiness and just the presence that's on this song. And you don't even have to know the words. Just allow it to minister to you. You know, we're coming to a time with worship where it's not going to be about all the words, but it's going to be about, oh, is God's presence on this song? Is his anointing on this song? Okay, now I'm good, right? So just let this minister to you. Let his anointing and that the goodness of God in the worship begin to speak to you and to me about those areas where we need to go, okay, you know what? God, I see this and I'm going to repent and I'm going to make the choice and I'm going to allow your grace to come in and help me. Amen. So go ahead, Stephen, it's number 3 on that track.
Praise you, praise you, praise you, Lord Jesus. There's none beside thee, O God. You alone are Lord, risen from the dead. Our God and our King, Alvino Malkano, our Father, our King. We worship you, O God, with everything in our hearts this night. Saturate us, O God. Fill us, O God. Saturate us, O God. Fill us, O God, with your glory, O God. With your glory, O God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Blessed be his wonderful name. Baruch Hashem. Praise his name. Baruch Hashem Adonai. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Baruch Hashem Adonai. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Baruch Hashem HaMashiach Yeshua. Blessed be the name of the Messiah Jesus. Baruch Hashem Adonai. Blessed be the name. Hashem, the name. It's above every name. The name. Ask in my name. Whatsoever you ask in my name. Hashem, the name. Blessed be he whose goings forth have been from everlasting to everlasting. The name. The name. There was no other name given under heaven among men whereby we must be saved. Whatsoever you do in word or in deed, do all in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for that name. Blessed be his name. That name of Jesus of Nazareth. That name. Hallelujah. That name. 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 That name of the Lord. Worship that name. Magnificent name of our God. Worship that name. Call upon that name of the Lord. Call upon that name. Call upon that name. Of the Lord. Worship that name. Call upon that name. Of the Lord. Worship that name. Worship His name. The name of the Lord. Baruch Hashem, Baruch Hashem, Adonai. Baruch Hashem, Baruch Hashem. lamboyen. Lega lamboyen. Hashem. Hashem. Adonai. Hear, O Israel. The Lord our God, the Lord is one. The Lord our God, He is one. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Blessed be His name, whose goings forth have been from everlasting to everlasting. Ho! Rabatiki silevando rabamaki teleta. Hebrew. Well, they are. Circumcised in the heart. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's the presence of the Lord in this place.
Can we worship Him for a few minutes? Lord, we praise You. We glorify You and worship You, Lord. Praise You, Lord. Praise You. Praise You, Lord. Praise You. Praise You, Lord. We thank You for Your goodness, Lord. We glorify You and honor You, God. Praise You and worship You, Lord. Praise You and worship You, Lord. Praise You and worship You, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord, hallelujah. Lord, we honor You, God. Praise Your name. Praise Your name, Lord. Praise Your name, Lord. Praise Your name, Lord. Praise You, God. We worship You and honor You. Lord, You are God. There is no other name. We worship You, Lord. You are God. You are God. You are true. We worship You. We glorify You. Thank You, Lord. Thank You.